Welcome to the program God and Country, where we examine current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Here at God and Country, we continue to chronicle the moral decline. The great apostasy that Paul prophesied would take place in preparation for the revealing of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. And what we are seeing is a worldwide rebellion to God. But I would like to do much more than just explain the headline news. These events are occasions that God has given to us to point a whole new generation toward the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As people see the rule of Satan, there will be a few who will decide for Jesus Christ. The line is being clearly drawn in the sand. And let's remember the biblical precedent. The Old Testament prophets would always point to current events to teach doctrine. Remember the prophet Joel used the event of the great locust plague to remind God's people of the greater day of judgment to come? Isaiah used the invasion of the Assyrians to prophesy about the coming Messiah. Jeremiah used the current invasion of Babylon as a type of the coming destruction of the entire world system. Geopolitical events are an important tool in our witness to this world. And I want you to be a knowledgeable, discerning Christian in these matters. And that's another purpose for God and Country, to encourage and to build up the saints. Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And I am personally strengthened in my faith as I see all the doctrines of the Bible illustrated daily in the headlines. Now, in this week's program, I would like to discuss New Jersey Legislative Bill A3371. Incredibly, this bill has passed both houses of the New Jersey legislature, and as of the recording of this program, we are hoping that Governor Christie vetoes the bill. This bill makes it illegal to counsel a minor out of being a homosexual. Even if the young person requests counseling out of homosexuality, even if parents ask for such counseling, it will be illegal in the state of New Jersey. It doesn't even matter if the child has experienced some sexual abuse and needs help in his sexual identity. Any word to a child correcting homosexual orientation will be against the law. And if parents take their children to unlicensed counselors or to counselors out of the state who try to change their children's homosexuality, the parents can be prosecuted for endangering the welfare of a child. This legislation was put forth last year by a homosexual New Jersey assemblyman from Legislative District 38. And it was so outrageous, I didn't pay much attention to it. California already passed a similar law, and a federal judge put it on hold because of its unconstitutionality. So I considered this bill one of those ridiculous, extreme pieces of legislation that is often put forth by Democrats in order to satisfy their far-left constituency. Everyone already knows that it's not going to pass, but they can throw a bone to the far left saying, "Well, at least we tried." Yet this bill actually passed both houses of the New Jersey legislature. Folks, the culture is gone, and we are in great peril of persecution. Romans 13:11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." Now, let me read to you the details of this bill. First, it begins by making a moral claim that there is nothing wrong or unhealthy with homosexuality. Being lesbian, gay, or bisexual is not a disease, disorder, illness, deficiency, or shortcoming. The major professional associations of mental health practitioners and researchers in the United States have recognized this fact for nearly 40 years. Notice how this bill has to create a new morality to justify a penalty for counseling a person out of homosexuality. If homosexuality is just as right as heterosexual marriage, then it could be considered criminal to speak against it. The bill then goes on to claim that seeking to counsel a person out of homosexuality is hurtful. Quote, "Sexual orientation change efforts can pose critical health risks to lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, including confusion, depression, guilt, helplessness, hopelessness, shame, social withdrawal, suicidality, substance abuse, stress, disappointment, self-blame, decreased self-esteem, and authenticity to others, increased self-hatred, hostility, and blame toward parents, feelings of anger and betrayal, loss of friends and potential romantic partners, problems in sexual and emotional intimacy, sexual dysfunction, high-risk sexual behaviors, a feeling of being humiliated and untrue to self, a sense of having wasted time and resources. The potential risks of reparative therapy are great, including depression, anxiety, and self-destructive behavior. Since therapists' alignment with social prejudices against homosexuality may reinforce self-hatred already experienced by the patient. This bill is claiming that God's standard of righteousness is hurtful toward mankind. It reminds me of the claim of wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, who brought radical Baal worship into northern Israel with abortion and immorality and homosexuality and idolatry. Ahab pointed his finger at God's prophet Elijah and said, "You are the troubler of Israel." To which Elijah replied, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals." 1 Kings 18:18. Now be prepared for this rhetoric against God's law coming from the ungodly will be the platform against God in these last days. That God is unfair, that God is cruel, that his moral standards are reigning on the parade of our natural desires, and we want to live contrary to God's standards. Now the bill then goes on to delineate those who are not permitted to counsel minors out of the homosexual lifestyle. Quote, "A person who is licensed to provide professional counseling under Title 45, including but not limited to a psychiatrist, licensed practicing psychologist, certified social worker, licensed clinical worker, licensed social worker, licensed marriage and family therapist, certified psychoanalyst, or a person who performs counseling as part of the person's professional training for any of these professions. These shall not engage in sexual orientation change efforts with a person under 18 years of age." Now, this law is outrageous on a number of different levels. First, this law is one-sided toward homosexuality. While it will be illegal to talk someone out of being a homosexual, it will be perfectly legal to talk someone into being a homosexual. Now, the law doesn't explicitly say this, but the law begins by mentioning all of the dangers of counseling a person out of homosexuality, and not a word about the dangers of counseling a person into homosexuality. To further demonstrate how one-sided and illogical this legislation is, while counselors are not allowed to counsel minors out of homosexuality, once the minor wants to explore their gender, code for rejecting their natural gender, and once a minor wants to change their gender surgically, then it's perfectly acceptable for counselors to help them change their gender. This law is one-sided in protecting homosexuality and not protecting heterosexuality. Second, this law is unconstitutional in that it violates freedom of speech, freedom of association, privacy rights, parental rights. This law violates the timeless standard of the counseling profession, client autonomy. But the client has the right to set their own goals in therapy, that the counselor does not have the right to go against the client's desires. With this law, the counselor cannot help a minor who wants support in following his natural gender identity. The imbalance of this law is so typical of the gay agenda, because for them, homosexuality is such a moral imperative that every other normal value can be sacrificed. You see, there's a hierarchy of values. Free speech doesn't mean you can yell fire in a crowded theater when there's no fire. Privacy has its limits. Parental rights have its limits. You can't counsel your children to become axe murderers. So in the mind of the homosexual, homosexuality is such an important right, like the right to life. All other laws should be sacrificed for the sake of promoting homosexuality. And the ambiguity of this law is also part of the strategy. These laws are written to be so broad so that homosexual supporters can apply part of the law that is currently tolerated by our culture. But then as our culture degrades, the courts can take the same law and apply it to areas the public would not even imagine today. Too many of these new laws concerning healthcare, hate speech, anti-bullying, counseling laws are so broad and undefined that they can be used someday to persecute the church. This bill will prohibit a pastor or any Christian worker from counseling a minor away from homosexuality. Now, the media is reporting that it's just for licensed professionals, but if you read the fine print, it says licensed counselors or a person who performs counseling as part of that person's professional training. That would include pastors. And this bill will eventually be applied to non-counselors. If you're a counselor, it is illegal to talk against homosexuality. But if you're one neighbor talking to another neighbor, it's okay. Exactly when does one turn off the counselor role? This law begins the process of making any word against homosexuality a crime against the state. And this law will eventually be applied to parents who try to counsel their children away from homosexuality. Because once DIFAS, the Division of Youth and Family Services, has on the books that it's illegal for counselors to persuade a minor away from homosexuality, DIFAS can then take that law and claim parents who do the same are guilty of child abuse. Homosexual activists are already going after unlicensed counselors. Last year, a liberal group called the Southern Poverty Law Center filed a suit against JONA. JONA stands for Jews Offering Alternatives to Healing. This is a Jewish group out of Jersey City that tries to help people overcome same-sex attraction. Since A3371 was not on the books, and since JONA does not have licensed counselors, the Southern Poverty Law Center filed suit under the state's consumer fraud law. Now, some of the push behind Bill A3371 was because of this group, JONA. If the testimony is correct, this group is a bunch of religious kooks. They try to rehabilitate homosexuals by getting naked in counseling sessions, by enduring homosexual mockings, and all sorts of unspeakable things. So here's another factor. Satan uses nutty religious people to throw dispersion on biblical standards. For Satan is also in charge of those promoting false religion, and he can use them as propaganda. The Apostle Peter points this out in 2 Peter 2:2. Because of the sensuality of false religious teachers, the way of truth will be maligned. Now, getting back to the bill itself, just because a group like JONA has deviant counseling methods, if it can even be called counseling, it does not justify a bill that prohibits all sexual identity therapy. There can be a more specific bill prohibiting child abuse under the guise of therapy. But homosexual activists can use a group like JONA to promote their agenda. Playing one value off of another value has been one of Satan's tactics from the beginning. Using freedom to promote moral license, using the protection of women's health to promote abortion, etc. Now, if Governor Christie signs A3371 into law, the bill violates so many First Amendment rights, it will be immediately challenged in federal courts. A nationwide group of pro-religious freedom lawyers called the Liberty Council has sent the governor a letter asking him to veto the legislation and telling him that if he passes it, they will immediately file suit against the state of New Jersey. The Liberty Council has already filed suit against the same type of therapy bill in California, and it has obtained an injunction against the California law from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Liberty Council states, A3371 prohibits only one viewpoint regarding change counseling, and therefore constitutes viewpoint discrimination. No viewpoint-based restriction on private speech has ever been upheld. The Supreme Court ruled that the First Amendment forbids the government to regulate speech in ways that favor some viewpoints or ideas at the expense of others. The government should stay out of the counseling room and should never come between a counselor and the client. This bill, A3371, is so broad that parents would be prohibited from seeking help for their sons who develop unwanted same-sex attractions after being molested by the likes of Jerry Sandusky. This law would inflict serious damage to children, parents, and counselors. Now, what is A3371 really all about? It is part of the worldwide rebellion against God. And the ungodly want to persecute those who do not agree with their new alternative vision for this world. They want to suppress God's truth and hence eliminate any actions coming from God's people that remind them of God's standards. But who would have thought that the persecution of the church in America would be justified and legalized through this issue of homosexuality? As the president of the Alliance Defense Fund stated a number of years ago, the homosexual agenda is the greatest threat to religious liberty today, in part because it would take away the freedom to preach all that Christ commanded. And this is exactly what's occurring. If you have any convictions against homosexuality that direct how you do business, you can be jailed or fined for discrimination. In other words, it's illegal to discriminate between what is morally good or evil. Nick Martin, the owner of Masterpiece Bakery in Denver, could face a year in prison for refusing to make a cake for a gay wedding. He has already been prosecuted. Once this news broke, and gay activists discovered that a Christian might be put in jail over his stand against homosexuality, they immediately put pressure on the Colorado state legislature to overturn the prison sentence associated with the crime. Why? They were afraid of the optics. If a Christian is thrown in jail over this, it could jeopardize their whole campaign for gay rights. The gay community knows it needs to work slowly and behind the scenes. It is not time to throw Christians in jail until they can get more of the public and more of the law on their side. Now, even while this is going on, Democrats in Congress are trying to pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, the ENDA, which would make it a federal crime to discriminate in hiring or employing on the basis of sexual orientation. Now, that might seem harmless, but New York State already has a similar law. And an American Eagle clothing store in New York fired a man who dressed like a woman because his appearance was driving away business. The state of New York forced American Eagle to employ this cross-dressing man no matter how uncomfortable it made customers or fellow employees. Whatever happened to companies being able to have dress standards? Not when it comes to LGBT. Remember, the homosexual lifestyle is the value that trumps all other values. So if the Employment Non-Discrimination Act passes, it would discriminate against Christians and those with Christian values. Proverbs 17:26, it is not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. Ezekiel 13:22, you disheartened the righteous with falsehood when I did not cause him grief, but have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way. See, this is what's happening in America. Now, why is all of this persecution coming through the venue of homosexuality? We have lived through the sexual revolution that started in the 1960s, but we're still allowed to live moral lives ourselves. We are silenced in the public schools. Jesus Christ is not allowed. But we can still choose private education, even though we have to pay the taxes for the public schools. But with homosexuality, we are being forced to affirm this behavior. Why? I dealt with this in detail in a previous God and Country program called Persecution by Homosexuals. By way of a quick review, the bottom line is this. The reason for homosexual militancy is Romans 1:32. After Paul explains the sin of homosexuality, men abandoning the natural function of the woman and burning in their desires one toward another, men with men committing indecent acts, Paul writes this, "And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Paul points out that homosexuals have an insatiable desire for approval. Why? Because they are not receiving the approval of God, so they want it from men. This helps to alleviate their conscience. And so the desire for affirmation is particularly characteristic of homosexuality, because they're plagued with a guilty conscience. The sin of homosexuality so violates the natural conscience and the biology of a man that this is a sin that stirs up greater fears, greater insecurity, and a greater need for acceptance. And the nature of homosexuality is to redefine reality, so they can't have anyone threaten their fantasy. Homosexuals will not be satisfied until every last person on earth affirms their sin. One Christian left on earth who opposes homosexuality will ruin their party. So this is how it's played out. It's not a hate crime to say you're against adultery or drunkenness or against porn shops or even strip clubs. No one is going to break down your door and arrest you for hate crimes. But to speak against homosexuality elicits great feelings of resentment from the homosexual community because their conscience demands approval. So it's no wonder that Paul points out in Romans 1:32 that one of the defining characteristics of the sin of homosexuality is an intense need for the approval of others. Homosexuals must work harder than other pagans to suppress the truth. They must work more at hardening their conscience and building a false reality. And part of creating this false reality is to get the state to legalize every aspect of their behavior. And along with this need for approval comes violence. In the two major examples of homosexuality in the Old Testament, it is no coincidence that there is the recounting of homosexual, irrational violence against the righteous. In Genesis 19, in the city of Sodom, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we might have relations with them." Then in Judges chapter 19, we read about the homosexuals from the tribe of Benjamin. They spoke to the owner of the house, "Bring out the man who came into your house that we might have relations with him." Now, if any of you have had contact with homosexual communities, you know about the violence in those communities. There's a booklet that the Gay Agenda does not want people to read. It's called What Same-Sex Marriage Has Done to Massachusetts. It explains that once legalized, the homosexual lifestyle was promoted as normal to all ages in the public schools. A judge ruled that because gay marriage is legal, parents have no right to object to a gay agenda in the public schools. Once gay marriage was legalized in Massachusetts, the test for sexually transmitted diseases in order to obtain a marriage license was dropped. Also, domestic violence among gays has exploded, so that now you see in gay pride parades placards demanding that the state fund gay domestic violence prevention programs. Churches have also been harassed, and there have been many protests in front of churches. This is the violence and persecution that comes with the gay agenda. And it's not surprising that in Judges 19, the account of the homosexual Benjamites is the history of Israel's civil war against homosexuality. As we had a civil war against the evils of slavery, Israel had a civil war against the violence inherent in the homosexual lifestyle. 40,000 men died in battle to put an end to the LGBT crowd and their allies in the tribe of Benjamin. Are all homosexuals today violent? Well, of course not. The face of homosexuality in Hollywood is that of nice people. But they are all still very militant in sophisticated ways. That's why they're so politically active. They are in a war against Christian morality in America. Now, what would God have us to do? And with this, I will conclude. Isn't it nice that we have groups like the Liberty Council and the New Jersey Family Policy Council who are willing to stand up for biblical values in the public square? But let's not act like a bunch of spectators in the stands rooting for our ball team, watching them do all of the plays while we sit back as uninvolved news groupies. About 3 months ago, I had this inexplicable compulsion to get evangelical pastors connected with New Jersey state legislators. Not just a meet and greet time, but to create a platform by which we could teach our legislators what we believe and why we believe it. They are not hearing truth from God's people. The liberal lobbyists, the gay activists, are pounding on their doors. But they have no one to encourage them to follow the laws of God. And our legislators are clueless about the biblical responsibility that God gives to the state. The prophet laments, "My people die for lack of knowledge." Then I read in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, where God called the apostle Paul to bear the name of Christ before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. We read in Acts chapter 24:24, that Paul addressed the Roman governor Felix about faith in Jesus Christ. And the text says that Paul discussed with Felix righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Now surely, if this was the pattern for Paul's ministry, I can take 5% of my time to bear the name of Christ before kings. So for the last few weeks, I've been slowly planning some meetings. Lord willing, I can begin implementing this outreach in the fall. But I'm not ready to make any announcements yet. But this last week, someone sent me an article from the Washington Post that confirmed that my interest in contacting our legislators was of the Lord, that we are being called to speak up for such a time as this. The article went on to explain that the head of the ACLU in New Jersey is training an army of workers to lobby legislators in New Jersey to legalize gay marriage. New Jersey is considered one of the epicenters of the gay marriage battle. If they can get Jersey to fall, they can use this leverage in other state and federal courts to force gay marriage in all 50 states. Now more than ever is the time for us to speak up. Now, is our objective really to stop gay marriage? Not primarily. I see gay marriage as the perfect venue by which we can state the case that Jesus is both Lord and Savior and that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Obedience to God is now defined and expressed through this issue of gender. What better way to teach people they must bow the knee to the law of God over the law of man than in this issue of gay marriage? This is the pivotal issue of our time. And Christians must stand up and speak up for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's not an ethereal concept. That means following the concrete standards of God's righteousness. And that obedience leads a nation to the doctrines of salvation. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. You can contact us through our website at godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again, download it, or listen to other past programs. We'd love to hear from you, suggestions, comments, testimonies. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. And we hope you make this program a regular part of your weekly discipleship in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, grant us boldness in these last days so that we may make known the gospel as we ought. May your people see the great opportunity we now have to bear witness to your love and to your holiness, even as our very fortunes and our lives are at stake. May you be glorified by the sacrifice of your people. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.